Hello, 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 and welcome to Spiritually Speaking. My name is Scott Thompson, and I am so honored that you have decided to choose my podcast to listen to and learn about all things spiritual. I am so thrilled to be able to do this today of all days. And before I get started, I'd like to dedicate this first podcast to the memory of my dearest, dearest friend, Anne. Anne passed away on April 2nd after a long battle with cancer. And this episode is entitled Spirituality Through Recovery. And Anne would have had 30 years this year of recovery from compulsive gambling addiction. And so this episode is dedicated to her. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to walk alongside of her for the past 27 years. So as I said, my name is Scott Thompson, and this podcast is about all things spiritual. And the first episode is Spirituality Through Recovery. And many of us have probably been touched in some way by addiction. Maybe we, those of you who are listening, might be a recovering addict yourself, or you might know of someone who's having addiction issues or is in a recovery program. Addiction touches everybody, and there are so many ways of dealing with an addiction, and I have my own thoughts and ideas about the addiction process. I can tell you that most of the addicts I know came from some sort of abusive background in their childhood, whether it was sexual abuse or emotional abuse or physical abuse. And it does something to our brains. It does something to our spirit. It does something to our soul when we experience those things as a young person. But on the flip side, I also know of people who were raised in happy, healthy homes, nurtured and loved and cared for, and yet still found a way to become addicted to something, whether it was alcohol or drugs or, and in my case, it was gambling. So a little bit about me before I go into my story. I am a professional Reiki master teacher. I am accredited through the International Center for Reiki Training. I am a meditation teacher. And I learned from the amazing meditation guru, David G. And you can look him up online at www.davidji.com, davidji.com. Such an amazing individual. He's taught me a lot about meditation and taught me how to become a meditation teacher. And I'm so grateful for him. I'm also a licensed practitioner for the Centers for Spiritual Living, a worldwide organization designed to help bring out your most authentic self through spiritual teachings. And as a practitioner, I underwent 2 years rigorous in-class training, exams, panels, and it's been about 2 years since I've been a practitioner for them. I am also a chaplain. I work in the hospice industry and currently going through my chaplain accreditation through the World Spiritual Health Organization. So I'm a pretty busy guy. So what do? You create a podcast. And that's what I feel like I'm called to do, you know, because right now we are currently in very interesting times. You know, COVID-19 has been now ingrained into our brains, and our way of life has changed dramatically. Most of us have never spent more time in our homes than we are now. And I personally have been really blessed by that because it allowed me the opportunity to walk through my heart's, my friend, my best friend, my companion. I was able to walk through her passing with her family. And I also, you know, have been able to create this podcast. And so, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I'm really grateful that you have chosen to listen in to hear me today on my 16-year birthday. So happy birthday to me. And thank you, Gamblers Anonymous, for giving me the venue to change my life. So let's get started. I started my journey into addiction at a young age. You know, looking back, I can see how I was very much wanting to win. Winning was a big thing for me. And I would cheat and manipulate and get into fights and lie about, you know, games or card games or board games. You know, I was not the nice person to play games with because I wanted to win. And if I didn't win, then I got very upset and angry and I wouldn't talk to you and I would walk away and have temper tantrums. And, you know, I look back early on that that was probably the first original awakenings of gambling for me, because most compulsive gamblers, if they're really honest with themselves, you know, have this need to be in action and have this need to want to win. And somehow that winning, which is attached to the ego, continues to fuel their desire to want to win more than anything. And when you're dealing with spirituality and spiritual concepts, you know, winning is not even an element, because there's nothing to win. Everything is temporary. So, but that characteristics, those characteristics manifested into being a compulsive gambler for me. I discovered gambling at the dog tracks in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, and I found these dog tracks and dog races, and I became addicted to dog races. And then the gas stations had these pull aparts or pickles, they called them. And, you know, I would spend all my money on these pull tabs to win money. And of course, what does one do when one is a gambler? You go to Vegas. And so I moved to Las Vegas, and I was able to stay here for a brief moment of time before I moved to New Orleans. And of course, I found gambling in New Orleans, and then I moved back to Las Vegas. And when I moved back to Las Vegas, gambling had taken me down to the depths of despair. And I walked into a Gamblers Anonymous meeting in November of 1993. And since that time, I have gone through some relapses. I've gone through a few sponsors, and I've gone through the 12 steps of recovery 3 times. And I think it's an important part of my journey that I had to do that, because, you know, I was very stubborn and very wanting to do things my way. And I was not receptive to taking feedback. And, you know, I knew everything there was to know. I'm sure you know these people. I was one of those people. And, so, you know, the universe decided, well, you know, you want to know it all, then here, you know, why don't you just continue gambling and destroy your life and then see if you need some help. So I walked back into Gamblers Anonymous. I was in and out for a long period of time, you know, getting some time together, but then going back out and gambling. And it wasn't until April 17th of 2004 that I was able to come back into Gamblers Anonymous and really start working on myself, because I wasn't getting any younger and I was running out of options. So what is recovery? Well, there's a process to it, And the first process is, you know, you have to go to meetings. You need to get involved in the program that you're in. Back in those days, it was cleaning ashtrays, making coffee, which my friend Ann absolutely hated my coffee. But you had to get involved somewhere, and that really becomes an element that you're no longer isolating, that you're becoming a part of instead of being apart from. And then you get a sponsor, someone that you can relate to, and check that, make sure that sponsor is working the 12 steps of recovery or has worked them and is living them in their life so that they can guide you to helping you apply those steps in your life. And then you do the work. You do the 12 steps of recovery, and you live in the maintenance steps, which is steps 10, 11, and 12. And 10 is continuing to take a personal inventory. So, you know, checking yourself, continually investigating yourself. Why do you do the things you do? Are they causing you anguish? Are they causing you aggravation? You know, are you still impatient? Are you still frustrated? Are you still single? Are you still, you know, heavy? Are you still drinking? I mean, what is it? You know, checking your personal inventory, you know, and then having the courage to say, okay, I need to change some things. And you're able to do that step 11. That's really where the meditation and prayer part comes in, where you sought through prayer and meditation to improve your contact with your higher power, because really in the end, you should by now have an understanding of who or what your higher power is. And, you know, turning your life over to that power, you know, makes things so much easier. You know, you're no longer in the driver's seat, you're a passenger, and your purpose is to be of service. And that brings to step 12, where you've had a spiritual awakening through taking the steps. And now you are applying that spiritual awakening and dedicating yourself into helping others. So a lot of people keep their program separate from their job. It is a program of anonymity, so we never talk about other people outside of the rooms of recovery. And we respect people's anonymity because everyone is where they are. I don't personally care if my anonymity is broken, because I believe that we're only as sick as our secrets, and that's just my opinion. But I know that there's people that are lawyers and doctors and judges and actors that, you know, it could be very detrimental if the word got out that they, you know, were an addict. And I don't understand why that would be detrimental, but I do understand that it's not my walk to walk. So I'm only responsible for my own feet. And so my feet say, yep, go ahead. You get to know everything there is to know about me. And so that really is, in a nutshell, how people recover and how people are able to abstain from their addiction. And it's a lifelong process. There's no graduation ceremony. You don't get a diploma. You don't get a certificate. You know, you get the joy of not having to figure out where your next fix is going to come from, whether it's booze or drugs or sex or food or gambling. You get that freedom, and that's what the 12 steps of recovery promise. But in my case, after I had gone through the steps and started doing my work and I started meditating on a daily basis, things started to change. I started to become more spiritually aware of my surroundings, and I started to hunger for a deeper understanding of spiritual education, and not religious education, because many people confuse religion with spirituality. While there are very many spiritual people that are in religions, religion itself is not going to make you spiritual, and it's certainly not going to help you understand spiritual concepts. And I really emphasize that, you know, I believe all paths to God are the right path. And I believe that all processes and all ways are the right way, except if you're having issues, if you're having issues with your religion, you know, why are you in it? just because you're afraid to dive into something new? Well, you know, that's not living. That's living in fear. And that's what we did in our addiction. We lived in fear. We were so fearful of ourselves and of other people, of what other people thought, that it was, you know, not a great way to live. And so once you become free of your addiction, you were like, okay, so now what? And that's kind of where I was. Had a great job, great house, great cars, great stuff. But I was still hungry. I was hungry for something more. And through meditation and a series of depressed events, I like to call them, I was led to a path that I'm on now. You know, Reiki has changed my life. Meditation has changed my life. Working as a hospice chaplain has changed my life. Being a spiritual teacher has changed my life. And above all, counseling those who are suffering with addiction or life purpose or relationships or phobias, you know, spiritual principles apply to all things. And that's why I chose to do this podcast, all things spiritual. And in this podcast, I'm going to explore with you some of the things that I've mentioned and a few others. So I hope that you enjoyed this podcast of Spiritually Speaking. I'm really glad that you chose to tune in. If you'd like to ask me some questions, you can do so through the app of Anchor, and I'll leave that option and I'll answer your questions. You can also, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook at Spirit Speaks 111. On Instagram, you can find me at Scott William Thompson. And on Twitter, I'm at Spirit Speaks 111. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You know, it's my hope that you stay safe. And if you are having some issues because you can't get to a 12-step meeting, there are so many meetings on Zoom. It's amazing. And if you reach out to your local AA chapter or GA chapter or NA chapter, they can steer you in the right direction. So in the meantime, stay safe. Follow instructions and, you know, be grateful. Be grateful that you have this time today to, you know, listen to little old me so that maybe something that I say sparks a desire in you to want to go investigate. Maybe you want to go meditate. Maybe you want to read a little bit about Reiki, or maybe you want to learn more about the 12 steps of recovery. Wherever your journey takes you, know that you are blessed in walking it. And I hope you have an amazing, amazing day. Namaste.